We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Brevard County, Florida. And my name is Bob Arthurs. My privilege to spend the next half hour with you right here on this great radio station. You're listening to the Refresh Radio Program brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God on Grove Street, 165 North Grove Street to be exact. We are two blocks north of 520. We are about three blocks west of the Home Depot, if you know where that is. Tangerine Avenue will take you right by Grove Street, and we sit right there on the corner of Grove and Tangerine. And so in the heart of historic Merritt Park Place in Brevard County, Florida, we would love to have you come and visit us. In fact, a number of you might have the opportunity to come and visit us for our kids' convention that is coming up Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night of this week. This is one of our largest events of the year. It touches kids, and I know this. Jesus wants the little children to come to him. He wants to put his hands on them in a metaphorical sense, okay? He wants to pray and blessing over the children in your life. He wants them to grow up to be mighty men and women of God. And so, you know, when I look back on my youth, I don't look back on the things that I did for God with any regret. I look upon the things that I could have done that I didn't do. Just part of the way that I'm made up. It's part of the thing that drives me now not to miss any opportunities that I have. And so I want to help raise up children who are going to be children of faith. Wouldn't it be, you know, one of my favorite people in the Bible is a little girl that is never mentioned by name. And the Syrians had come in, the Arameans had come in. Naaman had carried off this little Jewish girl, carried her off captive. And her father may have been very well killed. Her mother may very well have been killed. But whatever happened, this young lady ended up in captivity. And the person who owned her was a leper. He was a military officer, but he was a leper. And this little girl said, you know, I really wish that you were in Israel, because my God could heal you of your leprosy. And it sparked something in Naaman. Naaman went to his king. His king wrote letters to the king of Israel. Israel's king freaked out, didn't know what to do. And the prophet said, send him to me. Send him to me, and I will... God's able to take care of this. All of that started because a little girl said, my God is able to do what no one has ever been able to do. That's the sort of faith that we want to try and instill into young people. There's a little boy that brought a few pieces of bread and a few fish, and God used what he had to feed a massive multitude of people. Don't ever underestimate what God can do in the life of a young boy or a young girl who is taught in the things of God. So come and join us this week, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m. God is going to be good to us, and we're going to have a great time in the presence of the Lord. Now, I need to tell you this. Do not expect to come to this and for this to be the nice, quiet service that adults are accustomed to. This is geared towards children, okay? There's some conversation in there that's going to be challenging and entertaining to grown-ups as well. But it is geared towards kids. So please, if you come, understand that is the target audience this week, is ministering to boys and girls in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you can't come, pray with us. If you'd like to help support the event, you're more than welcome to do that. You can contact us at Merit Assembly of God, and God will provide all that we need. I want to take you this morning to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah, chapter 8. And Nehemiah is yesterday's program. We talked about speaking life-giving, encouraging, and edifying words. And that's what Nehemiah is doing, because even though they were attempting to build the wall, there was a great attempt underway to discourage the people and to prevent them from finishing the task that God had given them to do. So, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 9. And Nehemiah, who was governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And that's what I want to share with you today about this declaration, is the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, historically, when people have referenced this verse, it is the joy that is the emphasis. And so when we were in children's church, when I was a kid, we sang "The joy of the Lord is our strength." We had a great deal of fun singing it. But in recent years, as I was praying, God began to shift my emphasis from focusing on the joy to focusing on the source of the joy, and that is the joy of the Lord. And so when you make this declaration that the joy of the Lord is your strength, there's three aspects to this verse. We'll get to the third aspect here in a little bit. But I like to start with the concept of the Lord, that he is the one who rules and reigns. And it is not one of those things where, you know, in America, if the person that is not from your political party is the one who is occupying the highest office of the land, then there's a great deal of pain and suffering and complaining and undermining and all of that sort of stuff that goes on, because we don't like who is in charge of the government. That's what happens. If you're a Democrat, that's what happens when a Republican is on office. If you're a Republican, that's what happens when a Democrat is in office. But I want you to know that when God is in control, when God is governing your life, that it is not a day of sorrow. It is a day of joy. There is nothing lamentable about the concept of Jesus Christ not only being your Savior, but being your Lord. Meaning, you have acknowledged him as sovereign, and you give him the authority to tell you what you can do and what you can't do, and it is perfectly okay with you. It is with me. Recently, someone asked me this question, said, "So how long are you going to stay in Florida? I'm not a native Floridian. I've been here for 28 and a half years." They said, how long are you going to be in Florida? And I said, you know, I answer that question differently now than I used to. The answer to that question is I never intended to end up in Florida. It was never part of my plan. My plan has always been to go wherever God calls me to go and do whatever God calls me to do. And I said, so my timetable is completely and totally irrelevant. I have, you know, I've had people from time to time, they said, so are you planning on leaving Merit Assembly of God? I said, that's not my call to make. I don't make that call. I don't make that plan. I've got a commander in chief and he positions me exactly where he wants me. And then I say, you know, but as for my current understanding, I don't see myself going anywhere anytime soon. But God, I didn't see myself ever being in Florida. That's why I took my wife to the beach when we got married. That's where we went for our honeymoon. If I'd known that we were going to end up living on the beach, I would have taken her to the mountains or someplace else where we haven't been. It's the joy of the Lord. God has chosen this time for you to live. He has chosen this place for you to live. He has chosen for you the task that he had designed for you to accomplish before the foundation of the world. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If God is in control, then there is an assurance that you should have joy in your life. You know, I don't ever want to be one of those people. Yeah, God is in control, but boy, it sure is a miserable road. You know, because when you do that, what you are projecting to the hearers of those statements is that, oh well, I don't want to accept him as my Lord right now because I don't want my life to be as miserable as theirs. We need to be conveying the message that the most fulfilling life that we could ever live is right in the center of God's will, with God being in control. You see, Joyce Meyer talks freely about how miserable she was when she was the one trying to control every person and every detail, everything that went on. As long as she was trying to micromanage everyone, she found that the job was bigger than she was and people didn't respond to her micromanaging the way that she thought they ought to. And so she was miserable all the time. And it wasn't until she allowed God the privilege of being the Lord, not only of her life, but of her circumstances and the people in her life, that she began to experience a great deal of joy. Now, I believe that her great gift to the body of Christ is she has lived where most people currently live. I was in a meeting a little over a week ago, and I was having a conversation with someone, and he and I share a similar personality trait that we wouldn't necessarily be identified with currently. And that is, by nature, I'm an introvert, and this guy is even more outgoing and more gregarious than what I am. He's just got this really vibrant personality. He said, I'm an introvert. And I was like, whoa, now I know how people feel when they hear that I'm an introvert. And so we began to have a discussion about that. And he said, whenever I go into a room, and this guy is pastoring a great church, he said, whenever I go into a room, he said, the first thing that I do is I identify where my safe space is. I go in there and I say, okay, where is my personality going to be the most comfortable? Okay, does that sound familiar? And then he said this, and then I go to exactly the opposite place because I choose not to live in the parameters or in the excuses or the reasons for my personality. He said, now I know where I've got to go to refuel, so that is going to empower me to be able to do that. But I refuse to have my personality restrict the ministry that God has called me to. And I was like, wow, that is a really intriguing statement. He said, I know where I lean. I just don't want where I lean to limit where I live or determine where I live. So I choose not to live bound by my personality. I thought that was a great thing. And so allow God to be Lord over your spirit, Lord over your mind, Lord over your finances, Lord over the words that come out of your mouth, Lord over where you live, Lord over the place that you live, Lord over the purpose of your life. The more authority we grant to him as Lord, the greater peace and the greater joy we are going to have. I believe it is that aspect that caused Paul and Silas to be able to rejoice in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, even though they had been arrested for preaching the gospel, they had been beaten, they had been incarcerated, they were able to praise the Lord because he was in control. What was the result of that? There was an earthquake, but the earthquake was not so that they could get out. It was the earthquake was so that the jailer and his family could get in to the kingdom of God. It wasn't so that the other prisoners could escape. It was so that the one who was outside the jail cell, who was a prisoner of sin, could become a forgiven member of the household of faith. So that means that you, and so when we hear rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, written to the Philippians, when he said that, they already had a context to put that in. When they hear those words, that is not just someone spouting off an intriguing philosophy or a nice little sermon point. They knew his testimony, that he had lived that out. So rejoice in the Lord always. The joy of the Lord is my strength. With God as the Lord of your life, you are not a weakling. You are not a spiritual weakling. There is an almighty God ruling and reigning over your life. And when you and I walk in the authority that God has gifted to us, we are backed by all the authority and power of heaven. And that's quite simply the truth. People who drive around in sheriff's deputies' cars and police cars, they are men and women just like we are. There is nothing as far as their person in itself that makes them somebody that's necessarily going to be intimidating or authoritative or anything like that. But when they have that uniform, when they have that badge, all of a sudden you realize that you are not just standing before a person, but you are standing before a person who has been empowered, and all of the resources of that municipality, all of the authority that is represented in that badge, all of them are standing behind them. And so if you find yourself in opposition to them, you find yourself in opposition to the entire government system. How much more so in the spirit realm? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So I can trust him. I can have faith in him. I can believe in him for provision. I can believe in him for wisdom. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, I want to take you to one more today, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This one may actually be, bigger than what we are going to be able to communicate in about 7 or 8 minutes. But verse number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. The declaration here that been put together by Pastor Craig Groeschel is this: I will not compare myself. Now, mind you, this is declarations that he put together specifically for women, but you can adapt it for men as well. I will not compare myself to other women. God made us all beautifully and unique. Okay? One of the most interesting things that I've ever seen is weight loss commercials. Weight loss commercials will start off and a lady will say, man, I am just so thankful for this. I was at one point in time size fill in the blank. But now after this, I am down to this size, and you can fill in the blank. And so we'll put, now I'm down to a size 20. And you say, wow, that's awesome. That is incredible. The very next person will come up and say, man, before I started this program, I was huge. I was a size 20, and now I'm down to a size 14. This program has just been so beneficial. I feel better about myself. And the next person will come and say, man, before I started this program, I was a massive size 12 and now I'm a size 4. And then, you know, you could get other people to say I was a size 4 and now I'm, and all it is a comparison. And you say, you know, I compared myself with where I was before. And when I looked at other people, they looked happier than I was. And so I decided to change myself and get to where they were. And then guess what? The standard moves. And it's like the carrot and the stick. Whenever we compare ourselves against other people, we're going to find that the standard keeps changing. God did not create us to be cookie cutters or cookie cutter images. He's not looking for a monochrome or monotonous replication. Each one of us is uniquely created by God. And comparing ourselves with other people is going to either make us feel better about ourselves or worse about ourselves. So normally, we reserve comparing ourselves with others in a manner that is going to make us feel better about ourselves. So when people say, I don't need Jesus, I'm a good person, you need to understand that what they are doing is they are comparing themselves against the wrong standard. I am a good person because I'm not as bad as this person over here. I'm a good person because I give more to charity than this person over here does. I am a good person because when I compare myself to other people, I feel good about myself compared to where they are. That's the wrong standard. And Paul says that when we use other people as the standards that we compare ourselves with, it is not wise. Okay. Now, I believe that the reason that he has put this under the women's declaration is because ladies are constantly comparing themselves with other women. And a lot of that has to do with the physical attributes, the size, the jewelry, the clothes, all of the outward trappings. I want you to understand, ladies, that when Jesus is living on the inside of you, he's going to make you a unique creation. And so the world is constantly getting all of us to buy into this one thing. But do you realize that if it became common instead of extraordinary, they would change the standard, because people who are trapped in that comparative lifestyle, it's not about how popular it is. It is about how unique they are. Okay? They're wanting you to buy their product, but as soon as it becomes common, they're going to change their product because they've got, you just can't have such and such a handbag. You've got to have this year's model of the handbag. You can't just have this label of clothing or this label of shoes or this make of car. You have got to have the current, the most trendy. You've got to be able to compare yourselves. And when everybody else has adapted what you did as an early adapter, now you've got to adapt something else. Comparing yourself and measuring your self-worth by other people is not wise. There is one standard, and his name is Jesus. And so if the best that I can do is compare myself with him, and I will tell you that every person that I know falls short when they're comparing themselves with Jesus. Every person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God with Jesus as the standard. And yet salvation and forgiveness is available to each one of us. And that's why Paul goes on to say, I will not boast about my intellect. I will not boast about my background. I will not boast about my wisdom. If anybody has reason to boast about those things, I do. But I will only boast in this. I will boast in the Lord, because he is the standard. So if you were to look at your self-analysis today, if you were to look at yourself, would it be because you outproduce other people, because that makes us feel good? Would it be because your church has more people that come to it? And I can tell you as a pastor, that makes you feel good. Would you be boasting about the resources that you have or things like that? Or would you be boasting that you are exactly where God has you? You are being used by him to touch people's lives. Do you realize that the ultimate goal for us is for God to use us to touch and influence the people that he wants to save? What if we realized, that my goal today is to be the best man that Jesus can make me into? See, I don't want to compare myself and say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. There's all sorts of things I don't have. But none of those hold a candle to what I do have, and that is the Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords living inside of me, and with all of the resources of heaven backing him, I am a man of God today who is loved by God, and no one can take that away. Hey, don't forget to come out and check us out this weekend with the kids' convention, Sunday night through Wednesday night. God bless you. Have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.